This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long at 520. We'll have on with the senior writer at go247.com talking everything LSU, baseball, basketball, football, Glenn West. 545 will be our triple option feature. Charlie, I know we had kind of batted it around, Bobby and I, about who would be the new offensive coordinator with the Eagles once Kellen Moore left. Well, today was made official. Kevin Patello, who was their passing game coordinator, is now been elevated. He's the new offensive coordinator there. He's 43 years old. But think about this. Since 2007, these are the teams he's coached for. The Kansas City Chiefs, the Buffalo Bills. He coached for the Titans in 2014. I remember that. The New York Jets. He went to college football for a short time with Texas A&M. Back to the NFL with the Indianapolis Colts, and in 2021, he comes to Philadelphia, and the last couple of years, he's been the passing game coordinator and associate head coach for the Eagles, and he's just 43 years old. Look at the vagabond life you live when you're an assistant coach at the college or pro level, how you sort of bounce around to try to get a shot at it. And one of the stories that's being told by Zach Berman, who covers the Eagles for the Philadelphia Inquirer, was that, you know, he's always had a good relationship with Nick Sirianni, Patello, always. And he can tell him, hey, you're being a jerk. So that must have been a full-time job for Patello to be telling that, because sometimes Nick, man, he's off the charts. The Saints were playing the Eagles in New Orleans. The same weekend, LSU had a home game. So Doug Nussmeier, you know, his son Garrett, is playing at LSU. And the staff really pushed for Nussmeier to go to the game. And their deal was, you got to bring it up to Nick. You got to bring it up to Coach Sirianni. Go to the game. We've got the game plan set. Go to the game and watch your son. Well, Patello was, I got it. And he's the one who pushed basically Sirianni to let Nussmeier go watch his son play. And so basically what Berman kind of pointed out, and I'm going to clean it up a little bit, he said he was the one guy on the staff that, you know, he would call out the head coach if he was acting like a jerk.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. You know, NBC Sports Philadelphia also put it out there to kind of echo your sentiments, Mike, that he was Sirianni's right-hand man, or he still is, I guess, so to speak, because he's still
now
on the staff.
Now he is.
But yeah, no, I mean, talk about hopping from place to place, Mike. The Colts, the Eagles in just the past couple of years, but before that, the Jets, the Titans, the Bills, the Chiefs. Oh, my goodness.
I went through, man, and you 43 years old. goodness gracious.
He's been around the block.
Man, and he's had a lot of things in his head. And, boy, if I would like to take over a team running their offense.
Oh, yeah.
I sure would put Philadelphia at the top. Charlie, it's an interesting text we have here from 1509. He says, with the SEC and Southern baseball being so superior, if a Northern team manages to have an elite player, don't you think that teams from here will poach him? Should the Northern team simply drop baseball? No games are being played there in the early season. Well, one, Northern teams aren't going to drop baseball. They don't play it there because of the weather conditions. That's not going to happen. But if you have an elite player out of school up north, you can bet your bottom dollar those teams from the SEC and Southern schools are after them.
It's the same thing with the West Coast players, too, Mike. That's what we talked about with the decline of West Coast baseball and how it's really the SEC and the ACC battling it out. That's what we talked about all of last season as well, entering Omaha, where there's the two dominant conferences just keep scooping up all the best players. And when we brought this up yesterday, someone texted in a great point. It's kind of similar like the Paul Skeens effect, right?
Yes.
Where a player's great at a smaller program, and then he wants to test himself in the SEC. They decide to make that jump, and it's a big boom effect. Like, if you shine in one of these big conferences for one of these big teams, you're instantly on everybody's radar.
Darnell Dickerson, Utah Valley?
Charlie,
we saw the text when we had talked about the commitment and went through his stats. People, why are we getting a guy from Utah Valley? I think you saw why.
Yeah, he's already got 9 RBI.
Look how that guy plays. It doesn't matter where you start. It's where you finish. And I think Scott Sanders brought up a great point yesterday. He was a major league pitcher 9 years in the majors. And he said, you know what? People said, why didn't you start at LSU? His deal is, you know what? I wasn't good enough to go to LSU when I came out of high school. But 2 years in, I would have probably been able to go, but you didn't have the rules like they are today to be able to kind of hop around without skipping a year. So he stayed at Nichols State, and still he got to pitch for that long a period of time in the major leagues. Now with today, with the rules change, the ability to go from one school to the next sometimes is physical or mental maturity. We don't all mature at the same time. Either way, none of us do at the same rate. That give, man, Jay Johnson a lot of credit for going after guys, maybe not from the bigger schools, and we saw even from Wofford.
Right, Zach Cowan.
Yeah, Cowan.
No, exactly. And I mean, to a lesser extent as well, Jacob Myers from Nichols.
Yeah.
Like, they're bringing in guys that they think are talented and that they think can contribute in the SEC. Now, the NFL and the MLB are similar in the sense that both scouts, like MLB scouts and NFL scouts, will find you no matter where you are necessarily, right? You could be at a smaller school or a smaller program and they'll still find you. However, you know, if you shine, like in Daniel Dickinson's case at Utah Valley, as an all-conference player, and you instantly gain notoriety when you enter the transfer portal as a top-5 player in the portal, and Jay Johnson goes out and scoops you up and brings you to LSU, if you have a stellar year this year, like, you're going to be on more people's draft boards. It's just kind of how it is. So, you know, looking forward to seeing what he can accomplish this year. I mean, Coach Johnson, kind of to what Scott Sanders was saying yesterday, does not really care where you're from. If you can play, you can play. And if they think that they can develop you, they will go out and get you and bring you to Baton Rouge, which is one of the great parts of his recruiting. All the new transfers, 14 new transfers, 11 freshmen, all the new faces on this LSU's just not just pitching staff, but also in the lineup, they're all so talented, and they're all growing with this LSU program. So, you know, a lot of new faces, but regardless of the programs where they came from, they're wanting to test themselves in SEC baseball.
And also not just players. Think of the story he told about Brent Herring. Okay, we win the national championship, and we end up on the same plane. I end up talking to him and convince him to leave BYU to come to LSU, and he said, in a year's time, you'll get a chance to be a manager. You get to be the guy.
Look at Wes Johnson. Wes Johnson
is
now the head coach of
Georgia. Exact same thing.
Right.
So it's not only players. Man, he's done the exact same thing with assistant coaches.
Real quick, Mike, did you see what happened? You know, it was circulating on social media. Georgia played Kennesaw State last night, and Wes Johnson got ejected in that game. And like Georgia had this huge pimp job on a home run, and they came back to beat Kennesaw State and their closer. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's pretty funny. I think, you know, a lot of baseball fans are kind of traditionalists. So when you show up your opponent, it's not, you know, the best look. But if you ever want to see a closer showing up his opponent, just go see what happened with Georgia and Kennesaw State last night.
We'll be back, and we'll have on with us Glenn West, senior writer at Go247.com, covering LSU baseball, basketball, and football right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettay along with Charlie Long. And we have on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, senior writer at Go247.com, Glenn West. Glenn, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. I hope you're inside, and at least you didn't have to cover LSU Nichols today. A little bit too much rain in Thibodaux.
Yeah, maybe a little too much rain, but also 30 degrees is usually not very good for the pitcher's arms. So I kind of see where they're coming from of, you know, pushing that game back to some warmer weather later in the season.
I'll start it off with the football segment. Julie Boudouin did an interview yesterday with Blake Baker, and basically he's saying that now that Harold Perkins is going to go back to playing the star position, which is basically sort of a hybrid spot between linebacker and safety. My thing is, I would tell him one thing. You see that guy who gets us the snap? Put him on his back. I mean, because that's what he does best. But one of the things, Glenn, I thought he had improved on was his ability to play coverage, to play in reverse. Yeah. He's not great against the run and will never be great against the run. He's a little light. And he gets bounced around. But I think he has really become a pretty good cover guy in the reverse position. But, man, I got to put him up there and say, hey, sick him. Go after the guy with the football. Your thoughts on him returning back to that star linebacker position?
Yeah, I think it's the right move. And I think we've kind of been, you know, kind of pushed in that direction ever since he decided to come back. I think, you know, him playing the star just made the most sense because it's kind of what they were leaning towards, you know, when he first got hurt last year. I mean, in the last couple of games, he had kind of moved a little bit further away from that linebacker, inside linebacker role, and they had moved him to more of a star position, which is what Major Burns was playing for most of 2024. So they kind of had slid Harold Perkins into that role. And you started to see a little bit of flashes of the old Harold, I thought. I thought he was really dynamic in that South Carolina game. That was his best game of the year. was able to get in the backfield and create some havoc. He dropped in coverage, and I think he had an interception in that game. Was really consistent for him in that performance. And so I think it makes the most sense for him to be back at that star role. We'll see kind of how it looks in the spring, because he's probably not going to be ready to participate much in the spring, if I had to guess.
I don't think so,
So, you know, I think what they decide to do there, what kind of opportunities rise for other guys, that might be behind him on the depth chart in that position. You know, one thing we had heard is that maybe Tamarcus Cooley, the new transfer, plays closer to the line of scrimmage in spring and then could potentially move back in the fall, just so he's equipped to play both spots. So that might be one direction they go. But in terms of Harold, yeah, I think don't ask him to do something that he's really – doesn't fit him the best. And I think what fits him best right now is a role where he's able to rush the passer on third down, where he can drop in coverage and use his speed on tight ends and some of those slot receivers, and have him make some open field tackles and out in space. And so I think that makes the most sense for him going forward.
Matt McMahon getting kind of that kind of stamp that of approval, and hey, you'll be back and we'll get you money. And we had one of the texters yesterday. He said, well, I thought they had that name, image, likeness already in place, when Will Wade was there to make sure you had enough money. But, okay, now it's all legal with it, and that's exactly what I told him. But it was sort of buried a little bit. And we always knew, because Scott Woodward picked him, handpicked him, he was going to get some time here. It wasn't going to be a quick hook with Matt McMahon, but your thoughts on Matt and funneling more money that way to try to get players to play basketball at LSU. And, boy, that game Saturday highlighted. You watch Auburn, Alabama, and the difference with those guys and what LSU got ain't a little difference. There's a big difference.
Yeah, I think it's much needed, and I think they needed to come out and say this, and they did it through the media there with the reporting. But I think that it makes the most sense, because to your point, they hired Matt McMahon to a 7-year contract, they knowing that the first couple years were going to be rough because of the sanctions and the restrictions that they had on recruiting the first few years. This past offseason was the first offseason where they didn't have any kind of recruiting restrictions. And so, they were able to get on the road and recruit their best freshman class to this point in terms of ranking. They did as much as they could in the transfer portal. But, to be quite honest with you, what they were dealing with in the portal in terms of NIL resources compared to what some of the other teams in this conference have, it's apples and oranges, and it's a little bit of David and a Goliath in terms of how much there was a difference there. So it's good to see that LSU is going to be investing a little bit more in the men's basketball program for next year, get him the resources that he needs to build the roster that can be competitive, and then you can kind of judge him next year, I think, on just kind of how they perform, because there will be no more excuses next year. You have to come out and you have to have a better effort than they did this year. And I don't mean to say that this team doesn't have effort or guys that are trying hard, but it's clearly, like you mentioned there, when you're watching Alabama and Auburn and Tennessee and Florida, and you're watching LSU and South Carolina last night, there is certainly a noticeable difference in terms of how those teams operate and the size that are on those teams and how successful they've been this year.
Glenn, just listening to LSU head baseball coach Jay Johnson after, the first four games, he's mentioned a couple times that his team's kind of begging for a test, after the first four games, where they've been so dominant early on. But the good thing that you've seen is their production on the mound. And entering the year, we were all very high on their pitching staff. But I think the depth of that pitching staff is on full display very early. And I just want to get your thoughts on the starting rotation on the weekend early on, because Cade Anderson gets the Friday night start, or I guess it was Friday afternoon technically. Chase Shores is on Sunday, Anthony Ianson on Saturday. I think that's a really strong trio that we'll have to keep an eye on throughout the season, because sometimes it'll change, right? Where, a guy really starts to emerge and then he takes over a weekend rotation spot. But early on, from what you've seen from Cade Anderson, Anthony Ianson, and especially Chase Shores, who made his first start in basically 2 years, I think it was super impressive for the opening weekend.
Yeah, it certainly was. And you hate to overreact to just one weekend, because, it is Purdue-Fort Wayne and there are going to be stiffer competition ahead. But I think for all three of those guys, probably the most impressive part is that they were landing not only their fastballs for strikes, but they were landing their secondary pitches for strikes. And when you've got, you know, Chase Short shoving 98 on a Sunday and backing that up with an 85-mile-an-hour slider that's also landing for strikes, that's going to play in SEC. Like that's not just going to be a non-conference success story there. He's going to have success in the SEC too with that kind of command of his pitches. And so really all three of them, I thought, did a nice job of commanding the strike zone. And really that goes to the entire pitching staff. I mean, I think they're right upwards of around 60 strikeouts to just four walks or something like that through four games. I mean, it's pretty crazy the consistency that there's been across the mound from not just the starters, but the bullpen guys as well. So really strong start there. I thought that Anderson is a guy, just has that calm demeanor that you want on a Friday night guy. Really looked the part there on Friday afternoon and did a nice job of striking guys out. And when he did get into one little bit of a jam, was able to go three up, three down the rest of the way and keep them from scoring. So certainly they haven't been tested the way that they are going to be in the SEC, but you like to see that they're pounding the strike zone and doing their jobs in these first several games.
Glenn, I think for every baseball coach, and I've heard Skip Bertman talk about this, you want to kind of have your core people in place. And he said sometimes early in the season you can kind of fool with a little bit of that. And then you it sort of emerges for you, your core people. But he said the other part about managing a team like that that's got talent is also keeping your secondary players, you know, focused and emerged into the game. Because a lot of times, if you're not playing, you know, you sort of drift a little bit. And I think about what Skip talked about in keeping guys that may not be an everyday player sort of focused and sort of understanding you're going to have a role and I'm going to call on you one day and you better be ready. And I think for this team, that is something that Jay Johnson's going to have to deal with also.
Yeah, no doubt. And just kind of the back to piggyback off of that point, I mean, just as an example, Ashton Larson has been swinging the bat about as well as anybody on this roster here to start. I think he's hitting over 570. He's second on the team in RBIs, has a home run. He's only started in one of the four games. Like, he's had opportunities to pinch hit in pretty much every game so far, but he's only started in one of the games. And, like, to have that kind of buy-in from a player who is extremely talented but maybe is not starting every game, I think it just goes to show you the messaging, the communication that they've had in the offseason about, you know, all these players and how they can contribute to winning. And I think that's going to be an extremely important part of all this, is if LSU continues to have some continues to win games and is having success in the SEC and kind of settles in on a core 11, 12, 13 guys that are going to be playing the majority of the time, how they kind of keep the other guys up and developing throughout the season while maybe not playing as much as they'd want to, is going to be very interesting to watch unfold, because you never know when an opportunity might arise later in the season. And I think that's the approach that a lot of these guys have on the roster.
Jay made a really good point after the victory against Southern. You know, when Ethan Frye hit that 3-run home run, they kind of highlighted the 8-run inning that blew that game open. He mentioned after the game that he has a bunch of players that could be starters, and he said that four or five players, he has to figure out how to fit into two spots in the lineup. And if he can combine all their talents, and he said combine their talents to create basically two All-American-level talents, that's exactly what he's looking for here. So it's, as you mentioned, with Ashton Larson and Ethan Frye, Jake Brown, even Josh Pearson, all these guys are kind of vying for playing time. They'll get their games to play in and perform in. They just got to make the most of their moments, and so far that seems to be the case.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think, to your point there, that right field spot and the designated hitter spot are the two where it really feels interchangeable with those four or five guys that you just mentioned. I would probably throw in maybe even a guy like a Nick Paul, who has also appeared in all four games so far and has a couple hits to his name as well. Like, there's a legitimate four or five guys that are going to be competing for those spots. And, you know, I think, you know, it goes back to what Jay said in the preseason before this thing even got started, that he feels very comfortable playing all those guys. And it's really just going to be about matchups. It's going to be about pitching and, you know, what left-handed or right-handed pitcher they're facing that day. And, you know, somebody might not start the game, but they could finish the game kind of thing. And I think all these guys are aware of that being the possibility and how they're going to have to construct this thing, because I also found that very interesting that they think they have a couple All-American players, but it's going to be kind of a sum of the parts kind of thing in filling out the rest of those roster spots, and particularly the DH and the right field spot.
Last one for you, Glenn, here. I just want to get your thoughts on Chris Stanfield, the transfer from Auburn, who Jay was super high on. I remember he had that bite where he talked about like how he hit two rockets off of Paul Skene so as a freshman, so he had to bring him in eventually. But Chris Stanfield, you know...
And he wasn't really impressive last year.
No, he wasn't, but he's off to a great start this year, hitting 500 already, 6 of 12 on the season. And he just seems like the perfect leadoff hitter, but at the same time, defensively, he's also flashed the glove a little bit. And as you mentioned, like, they've struck out 52 batters so far this season, so there hasn't really been that many opportunities for the Tiger defense to shine. But when Chris Stanfield's been asked to shine, he's looked really good defensively as well.
He's had, I think, three or four diving catches in four games. I mean, he's been really electric out there in the outfield. And you always knew that his defense is going to be what got him on the field. But his bat is going to be what keeps him on the field. And that's been something that he's been really improved with this year. We've spoken to him a number of times this offseason about just kind of how he's improved in that area, and just the footwork and the discipline and the approach that he's kind of had this year, and how it's been different than past years. It seems to be paying dividends, because him and the other guy I'll throw in there is Derek Curiel, the freshman. Those two at the very top of the order have been lights out. They're getting on base a lot, and then they're moving the offense. And that speed they have, they're probably the two fastest guys on the team. And, you know, they're going to be able to move the offense and score a lot of runs for this team.
Glenn, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your insights and time. And at least you warm where you're at.
Thanks, Glenn.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys.
All righty. Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate it. Glenn West, senior writer at go247.com. Want to tell everybody, entering the eighth inning, Tulane has taken the lead 4-3 over Southeastern. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 and our triple option feature right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTelia along with Steve Geller and Charlie Long. It's our triple option feature. Steve, you go first.
Well, along with the Saints assistant coaching hires that we've been hearing coming in, the Saints also made a move hiring Ted Rath as their director of sports performance. Hopefully this guy can help on the injury front. 41-year-old sports performance coach, most recently worked with the Eagles from 2020 to 23. And while him and Kellen Moore didn't overlap there in Philly, the two have worked together in the past. Rath's first stop in the league came with the Detroit Lions as the assistant strength and conditioning coach from 2009 to 2015. And what do you know? That's when Kellen Moore was playing quarterback for the Lions. During his 15-year NFL career, Rath has worked on the staff of 8 playoff teams. He contributed to the Rams Super Bowl win in 2018 by helping them stay one of the NFL's healthiest teams for 3 consecutive seasons. So like I said, hopefully Rath can come here and help straighten out some of that voodoo that was on the team this year, and maybe give a little help to the Pels too, because both those rosters were just decimated these seasons with injuries. And Ted Rath, now the director of sports performance for the Saints.
Most people remember him. He was the get back coach.
Yeah, there you go.
Sean McVay. Sean, man, he was a bit of a hothead early on in his career with the Rams. He didn't calm his nerves.
Just very emotional.
because I think ever since he got married, things, it's kind of that Floyd the Barber comment about Barney. He ain't going to get married. All this won't really affect him as much. Charlie.
Guys, our friends over at D1 Baseball, I almost brought this up with Glenn, but I wanted to save it for triple option. So here we go. They have a new thing called the Heat Sheet, which every weekend they'll be recording pitchers that throw 97 or more miles per hour. They had 17 pitchers in opening weekend throw 97 or more miles per hour. 4 of them from LSU baseball, guys. Kaysen Evans threw 99, Chase Shores touched 99, Maverick Rizzi touched 99, and William Schmidt hit 97. And included in that list, if you guys will recognize, Kaysen Evans, Maverick Rizzi, William Schmidt, 3 freshman pitchers throwing 97 or more miles per hour already. And then Chase Shores, I mean, Ben McDonald came on and talked to us about his first round arm talent. He's hitting 99 on the radar gun, 2 years removed from Tommy John surgery too, guys.
That's just remarkable. Guys, I sort of missed this during the NFL season when it ended, but during the 2024 NFL season, Jahmyr Gibbs, the halfback with the Detroit Lions, former Alabama running back who started at Georgia Tech, he averaged 6.4 yards a touch. It was the most by a player with 300 or more touches in a season. You got to go back to 2000 with Marshall Faulk.
Wow. That's good company right there.
Man, Marshall averaged 6.6. Man, was Marshall something back in those early 2000s. But, man, Jahmyr Gibbs, 6.4 yards a touch as a runner receiver. That is so impressive. Because you know teams are going after him. They've kind of geared up, and when you touch the ball that many times, man, to average 6.4 yards, that is really impressive for a guy a lot of people questioned. Why y'all picked him in round one? Why would the Lions waste a first-round pick on Jahmyr Gibbs? That's why.
Do you remember when they had like their war room and they showed the video of them all celebrating that Jahmyr Gibbs was there at pick 12? Yeah, I think you understand why now. That kid is talented. He's fantastic.
And he runs with that combination power, speed, and he turns speed into power. But, man, he's so shifty, and he catches the ball well coming out of the backfield. Be interesting to see now the new dynamic. Getting bounced like they did against the Commanders to come back next year and how well that team will react to it. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here on hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettay along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long, and at 6:25, Ali Cosell joins you, Steve. Talk about the Pelicans, and they crank things back up with Friday night, right?
Yeah, we're coming off the All-Star break tonight, but the Pels don't have a game until Friday at Dallas.
And then at 7 o'clock, Matt McMahon, and he got that vote of confidence.
They're streaking Scott. Now. They got two in a row.
Two in a row, and he got that vote of confidence from Scott Woodworth. And, again, we had talked about it that, you know, he got hired by Scott, so he was going to have a little bit of length of time. But, yeah, he's got to make it work. And recruiting's a big part of that. And, boy, you're going up against some heavyweights in the SEC who already got a big foundation. And you saw the difference when you watched Auburn and Alabama play, and also if you watched Tennessee, Florida also. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.